Herschel Hobbs gave this illustration one time. He said an orchestra has many instruments ranging all the way from tubas and drums to fifes and piccolos. Each instrument is important. The harmonious blending of their sound results in symphony. Let's suppose that the piccolo said, with all these other instruments making so much sound, no one ever hears me. So when it's my turn, I will not play. The audience would likely still enjoy the music, but the conductor, alert to every sound, would know the piccolo did not play. Likewise, if you refuse to use your gift, however small, in a cooperative effort, Jesus will know, and the work of the church will not be complete. As Paul closes in on the end of his letter to the Romans, I believe he is illustrating to us, through his own ministry, how churches should cooperate with one another. Look at Romans chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 23. We'll look at verses 23 and 24 here. Romans 15, verse 23. Paul writes, "But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while." Churches should cooperate with one another in the mission to make disciples around the world. Paul has planted churches. He was sent out of the church of Antioch, and he went east of Antioch and planted churches all throughout Eastern Asia, then in Macedonia and Greece. And he has hit the major regions there, and he's now finished the places that he wanted to hit. And now he wants to go to Spain. He wants to go beyond Rome to Spain. And he's never been to Rome, but he couldn't get there because he was busy planting churches where he was. And so now he wants to further his ministry out into the outer reaches of the known world at that time. And so he wants to visit Rome on his way to Spain. And while he's there, he wants to be a blessing to that church in Rome. But he also hopes that the people in Rome will help support him as he moves on to Spain to plant churches there. So when he says there in verse 24, he says, "to be helped on my journey there by you," he is asking them to support him in his mission endeavors to further the kingdom of God into Spain. You see, Paul was sent out of the church of Antioch. It was in Antioch the Jews were dispersed from Jerusalem, and it was in Antioch that they began to share the gospel with Gentiles, and the church grew, and God blessed there. And it was the first place that believers in Christ were called Christians, because they were no longer just a Jewish sect. There were Gentiles that had accepted Christ, and so now they were called Christians. And that church, being part Gentile, the Gentile part of that church was like, "Man, this is such great news. Everybody needs to know about this." And so in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, we read there, it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." Here we see how God provided from His church people to send out to advance His kingdom work. And those people were sent out with provisions for their journey by the church in Antioch. While Paul supplemented his support while he was in Corinth by making tents, and we find that in Acts 18, he stayed with some folks who were tent makers, and that's what he did. And so he supplemented his income there with that. But he also, in Corinth, didn't want to take an offering from the people in the church at Corinth for his support there. But while he was in Corinth, other churches supported Paul in his missionary endeavors, in his endeavor to spread the gospel. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, we read this, as he is speaking to the Corinthian church, and they have begun to listen to other apostles, or so-called apostles. They were false apostles. And Paul is urging them not to leave the teaching that he has given them. And he is saying, look, I didn't take any money from you when I was with you. And he talks about this. He says, did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? He says there in verse 8, I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. Now, Paul wasn't robbing churches. Okay. But what he's saying is, instead of taking money to minister to you, for you, I was using funds from other churches that they had sent to me so that I could give the gospel to you free of charge. In verse 9, he says, and when I was with you and was in need, I didn't burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. So Paul was accepting support from other churches. When he had a need, he didn't even ask the church in Corinth to help him. There were people from Macedonia that came with an offering from their church to help him. So we see that other churches were supporting Paul in his endeavors. The Philippian church was a particular help to Paul on his missionary journeys. In Philippians 4, verse 15, he says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. They were the only church helping him at that time. From that area. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Notice how he describes their gifts. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, in our study of Romans, what does that remind us of? A sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing. That's what we're supposed to be, right? Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. How are we to present our lives as living sacrifices that are holy, acceptable, and pleasing? Well, in this Philippians passage, we see that supporting mission endeavors is an acceptable and pleasing sacrifice to God. Churches should cooperate with one another in the mission to make disciples around the world. The Apostle John tells us the same thing in his third epistle, 3 John verse 5. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. They were strangers to the church when they came, those missionaries that came through, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. You see, when we support people who are making disciples around the world, we are their co-laborers. Now, some observation. It takes people and money to expand God's kingdom. Where should we expect the people to come from to expand God's kingdom? Our churches, right? Our churches. I mean, that's what happened in Antioch. They were praying and fasting and ministering, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, set apart these guys. And send them out for the work that I want them to do. So the church should supply the people, but where should we expect the money to expand God's kingdom to come from? Well, first let's consider where the money should not come from. Money for God's kingdom should not come from the unsaved people of the world. We just read there in 3 John verse 7, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. When he says Gentiles there, he's talking about the unsaved. Unsaved people do not understand God's kingdom. They may perceive it, but they don't understand it, and many of them will fear it. Some will even oppose it. So we should not expect the money to advance God's kingdom to come from unsaved people or corporations. So where does it come from? Well, another place it doesn't come from is God's printing press. Right? God's kingdom doesn't have its own currency. There's not a mint where God's money is printed to be used for God's people and purposes. God's kingdom is made up of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Therefore, there's no one currency that transcends God's kingdom. God is at work among the nations, so we should not expect God to print money for us to use. But you may say, well, doesn't God own the cattle of 1,000 hills? Is he not rich enough to provide funds for his kingdom to be advanced? He most certainly is. He most certainly is. And he most certainly does. But how does God supply funds to advance his kingdom? Through God's people. God provides for his people, and from that provision, God's people fund the advancement of God's kingdom throughout the world. God's people provide the workers and the funds to advance his kingdom. All should work to advance the kingdom. Every one of you should be in kingdom work. You should be sharing the gospel with people. You should be discipling people. You should be working in your local church. And some of you God may pull out and send to plant other churches and go on in missions endeavors around the world. So God's people provide the workers and the funds to spread the kingdom in other areas. We have basically two choices, either give or go. Churches should cooperate in the mission of making disciples around the world. But churches cooperating begins with individual members participating. And so the application this morning, are you working to advance God's kingdom? Are you giving to advance God's kingdom? Because God has provided for you. And out of your provision, he expects you to fund his kingdom. Next, we see another area in which churches should cooperate. Look at Romans 15, verses 25 through 28. Paul is talking about wanting to come and visit Rome and then go on to Spain. But then he says, but at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. You see, churches should cooperate with one another in works of mercy. In works of mercy. Don't let the phrase social gospel scare you away from thinking that churches should be involved in helping people who are downtrodden. We ought to, beloved. It's part of God's plan. Acts of mercy have been a part of the church since its inception. There was the feeding of the widows in the Jerusalem church just after its birth in Acts chapter 6. They took care of the poor widows by feeding them. Just after the founding of the church in Antioch, which is the church which sent Paul and Barnabas on their journeys, we read this in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. It says, now in those days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, because some can give more than others, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So when the church at Antioch heard about this great famine that was coming, they said, we got to help. We've got to help our brothers and sisters. So they took up an offering and they sent it to Jerusalem. When the first council was held in Jerusalem and they were addressing the gospel as it related to the law, and whether Christians needed to be circumcised, and that battle was going on. Paul and Barnabas went down to Jerusalem, and they met with the elders there. And we read this in Galatians 2, verse 9. Paul is recounting when that happened. And he says in Galatians 2, verse 9, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars in Jerusalem, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." You see, acts of mercies has always been a part of the church. Paul directed the churches he planted to take part in an offering to help the saints in Jerusalem. We see that he directed the church in Corinth to do. And let me explain this. There was the famine in Jerusalem, but also you have to understand that for the Jews in Jerusalem that had accepted Christ, there eventually came great persecution. They were kicked out of their community. As far as the Jewish community, their businesses were boycotted and things like that. And the Jerusalem saints were poor. And they didn't have much. And so they were suffering for following Christ. And so Paul instructed the churches that he went to and he planted, "Hey guys, we're taking up an offering to help the church in Jerusalem." And so in 1 Corinthians 16:1, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do." So we know he's already directed the church in Galatia to help in this offering. Now he's telling the Corinthians. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 9, he's writing to them, he says, "Now, it's superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, this offering. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." When Paul first told the Corinthians about this offering that they took up, they were just like, "Hey, Paul, we're in there, buddy. You can count on us for some number." And it was a big number. Because Paul went about bragging about this number to other churches, and we see that he went in Macedonia, and he's telling the Macedonian churches now, "Hey, we're taking up this offering," and you wouldn't believe what the Corinthian church said they were going to give. So now, in 2 Corinthians, he's writing, and he's kind of reminding them that they promised a pretty big number, and he's a little nervous that maybe they won't come through on that. So he gives them some directions about how they should take up that offering and make sure they hit their goal and that type of thing. But Paul is telling these churches that you need to participate in this act of mercy for the saints in Jerusalem. In Romans 15:27, in our text today, Paul sees a unifying effect for the early churches in the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. It was helping to unite Jew and Gentile in this thing called the church, in this common salvation that they had in Jesus Christ. It's like, "Hey, Jerusalem saints, hang in there. You've been kicked out of your community, but don't worry. You've got a new community in Jesus Christ. We are your brothers and sisters, and we are going to make sure you're taken care of." Paul also taught that acts of mercy, such as the collection for the poor, increased the righteous harvest of believers and resulted in thanks being given to God by those who were helped. And that all glorified God as His people act righteously, and then the ones receiving the gift give thanks. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. And he's now referring, remember I told you that God supplies for His work, kingdom work from His people? Well, now He's talking to their people, to the people. And He says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food," who's that? God. He's saying, "Hey, God that has provided for you in order to sow your seed and to do your work," says, "He will supply and multiply your seed for sowing," sowing for righteous things, "and increase the harvest of your righteousness." I say this is the one place in the Scriptures where we find where we can take something called unrighteous money in the Gospels, and we can turn it into righteousness. How do we do that? Well, we take the money and we give it to people who are in need. And that's a righteous deed. That's a righteous act. And so it's sowing your money not to get more money, but to get more righteousness, which reflects the righteousness of your Heavenly Father. He says in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So not only are you acting in a righteous way by helping the poor, when the poor receive it, they're giving thanks to God. And so God is glorified in multiple ways. In our day, cooperation and acts of mercy with other churches is an encouragement to believers and a testimony to the unsaved world. When Hurricane Harvey happened over just a year ago, we cooperated with other churches and ministries to help people. We went to a church in Houston and handed out food, and we took food up there with us. Operation Renewed Hope sent funds that we added our monies to, and we were able to purchase foods and take up there. Not only that, but we went to Rockport and did work there with the Southern Baptists in that area who were doing disaster relief, cooperating together to help folks that were affected. Acts of mercy. It is encouraging to see churches set aside differences, join together, and help people in the name of Jesus Christ. Churches should cooperate in acts of mercy, but churches cooperating begins with individual members participating. Are you giving to help others through acts of mercy? Are you giving to help others through acts of mercy? Now we see a third area. If we go return to Romans 15, verse 29. Another area of cooperation that churches should be involved in. Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans 15, verse 29. He says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Here we see that churches should cooperate with one another in mediating for missionaries. Paul asks the Roman church to strive together with him. How? By praying to God on his behalf. Striving together has this idea of cooperation and common goals. Paul often asks churches for prayer. Here he asks the Roman church to pray that he be delivered from unbelievers in Jerusalem, and that the offering of the saints for the saints in Jerusalem would be well received. You say, well, why would that be? Well, listen, have you ever been in a downtrodden state but your pride was too much? And instead of accepting help, you were offended that people were trying to help you? Or maybe that thought ran through your mind? I mean, Paul's coming to the Jerusalem church and they're still struggling with this thing. They're being rejected by their community, but they still have this aversion to Gentiles because they've always been told to be separate from Gentiles. And so how is this offering going to be received? And Paul says, listen, they need to receive this offering in the love that it's being offered. So pray that they'll accept it. But then he also prays that he would be able to come and visit the church in Rome. He says, well, we'll pray these things, but also pray that I'll be able to come and visit you. In other places, Paul asked for prayer. To the Ephesian church, he said, pray for me. In Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, he says, pray for me for the words to speak the gospel and boldness in proclaiming them. The words to speak the gospel and boldness in proclaiming them. In Colossians, he asks for the opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Pray for an open door, is the way he put it. Opportunities to proclaim the gospel and that he would proclaim it clearly as he ought. Have you ever wanted to witness to someone and you were concerned that you would be confusing in the way you presented the gospel? I have. I'm like, Lord, help me not to muddy the waters, but to be clear in my presentation of the gospel so that they'll understand. Open their eyes, Lord, that they'll understand. But use me. Make my words clear. Make them understandable. Help me to not talk over their heads or to bring in things. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things in the Bible, and sometimes we pull in things that aren't relevant to what's going on. And so Paul's praying, hey, pray that I be clear and understandable. He asked the Thessalonian church to pray for him, for God's message to be honored and for protection from evil people. You see, Paul enjoined multiple churches to help him in his endeavors for the gospel by praying to God for him. We have missionaries that we support here at Faith Baptist Church. I've put a list of them. We put a list of them out for you to pick up on your way out. Just a list of all the missionaries that we have here, since you can be praying for them. We also have a missionary email list. When we receive an email from our missionaries, we send that out to that email list so you can hear from our missionaries yourselves. And in those missionary letters, they let us know what to be praying for. Would you sign up for that missionary email list? Some of you are already on it. But if you sign up for that, we'll get you on that list. And anytime we hear from our missionaries, we'll send it to you. And inside those letters, they give praises about what God is doing, but they also ask for prayer requests. They're doing what Paul is doing here to the Roman church. He's saying, hey, join with me. Labor together with me. Strive with me. Ask God to help me. Would you do that? We also, on Wednesday night, we read one of those letters. Each week, we pick a letter from our missionaries, and we read that letter and pray for them. Churches cooperating begins with individual members participating. Are you praying for our missionaries? They are out there obeying the Great Commission in other areas of this world. Are you praying for our missionaries? In our day, especially here in America, individualism runs rampant. And too many churches are interested in building their own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. Let that not be said about Faith Baptist Church. Let us be a church that joins with other churches in supporting missions for the Great Commission, in acts of mercy for God's glory and the good of others, and then in praying for missionaries.